Shalom, Saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford. That's Reverend Sheila Crawford. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, are expecting your trumpet call. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean and provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and those with one foot still in the world, that they encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. We also pray for our recent prayer request, especially for Mary Ann, for a miraculous healing. May you supernaturally touch your bride while keeping us in perfect peace, whose eyes are fixed on you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, the Ryan health bill has died.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty sad when members of the same party are so divisive.
With that being said, we have both read from many different reliable sources that there are intentional rhinos. And, of course, that means Republicans in name only. And they're placed within the party to cause division.
Yeah, you know, that's how the enemy works.
Right. Infiltrate. You know, it's been done to our churches. And, of course, Satan's minions are crawling all through our government. And, in fact, all governments in some way, shape, or form.
And Scripture warns us of this.
It does. It does. This should really be no surprise, especially in these last days. You know, the last Speaker of the House, they called him the crying John Boehner. Well, he was a rhino. Maybe that's why he was crying. But finally, the Freedom Caucus. Now, that's a group of a small group of about 30 in the House of Representatives who really, really are conservatives, such as Louie Gohmert. But they were able to oust Boehner at the end of 2015. But it looks like he was replaced with yet another rhino,
yeah,
Paul Ryan.
You know, Trump should have gotten rid of him right away.
That's right, because he could have easily.
Yep.
I mean, Ryan wouldn't even support Trump for a long time until probably someone told him, well, just be a shill. This was really Ryan's health bill that the Freedom Caucus insists was just an Omega, Obamacare light, which benefited mostly the insurance companies.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree.
However, this failure does make tax reform more difficult, since the budget for cutting taxes depended on lowering government health costs.
Yeah, it now seems inevitable that the debt ceiling will have to be raised yet again.
Probably.
And there are many investigations going on.
Oh, my, yes. Well, one is still on whether President Trump was wiretapped, which keeps going back and forth depending on who you're listening to. As well, they're investigating Russian connections to the elections still, and what did Trump know about it. And the Senate committee is also meeting with son-in-law Jared Kushner, who openly met with Russian Ambassador Kislyak during Trump's campaign. Now, you know, Jared is also known to be the lead go-between with foreign governments and their developmental banks, which would seem to be quite appropriate with all the foreign businesses that, you know, the Trump organization is involved in. We can be sure that Obama is not happy over the easing of his sanctions to a bank in the Ukraine due to its being connected to Russia. And it's no secret that there are really detailed, I think, agenda from the Obama clan to undermine and get Trump impeached.
Yep, and you have more.
I do. Yes, the Paul Manafort connection. Remember, he had to resign from Trump's campaign last year due to the leak about his past employment. Come to find out, as a political consultant to a Russian oligarch who supposedly paid Manafort $10 million a year for any information that would benefit Putin.
Now, that is from the liberal news.
Yes, like MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And I have not heard it said on Fox, but that would be typical. So we'll see what happens, since he failed to disclose that fact that he was legally required to do. And two other advisors of Trump, Roger Stone and Carter Page, are also implicated and are supposed to attend a hearing pretty soon.
And confirmation hearings are still going on for Supreme Court justice.
Yes, which the Democrats are taking their good old time and on purpose. Also, the annual Arab Summit begins tomorrow in Jordan.
Anything new on Israel?
Well, as I mentioned last week, there are some clashes going on in the Golan Heights area because Hezbollah has recently increased its military forces on Israel's borders. Also, convoys have been spotted. So, Israel did warn that any transporting of advanced weaponry from Syria to Hezbollah in Lebanon would be bombed. And so it was. And an IDF highly sophisticated drone killed one of their leaders. And retaliation was promised, which came a week ago. But Israel was able to intercept the anti-aircraft missile in Israeli airspace. As well, I read last week that ISIS is leaving Syria, and I heard it again this week, and it's thanks to our serious increased involvement. However, it's not being talked about, but they are now just going somewhere else and heading toward Lebanon on Israel's northern border.
Yeah, you know, that's not good. That's a situation that Israel, you know, they have feared might happen for quite a while.
Absolutely. They were not too upset that they were staying in Syria. But at the same time, it is known that Hamas, you know, the terrorist group in the area of the Gaza, has now short but very powerful rockets, and Israel has conducted quick escape route practices for the surrounding communities of Gaza.
The world is reeling.
Yeah. Honey, please tell our newer listeners how they can contact us, since we choose not to be on Facebook or Twitter.
There are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message, 2440-834-9006. That's 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And perhaps include a much-needed gift of love, which can also be made right on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which will automatically add your name to our mailing list for updates and our monthly newsletters, which, by the way, just went out yesterday.
They did. Okay, tonight we continue the series on the Fulfilled Spring Feast.
A favorite of mine this time of year.
Mm-hmm. And a needed refresher course, I might add.
How about a short review from last week?
Okay. We started by emphasizing the importance for the church to understand God's appointments that he made with his children. And we explained also Palm Sunday, which happens on Nisan 10, and the selection requirements of the Lamb.
You know, by the way, this program is up on our webpage if you'd like to catch up.
And also last week's, too.
Last week's as well. That's what I was
And many weeks. And we highly recommend that you do so, because the first four appointments have been literally kept by God through his Son. So we, all believers, have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments of God, and we will soon benefit immensely from the last three appointments as well. And, of course, we talk about that every fall season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, which, by the way, is all archived again on our webpage. So, saints of God, when you realize the fullness of your Jewish salvation, you'll always look at your Bible as a truly Jewish book and read it through your spiritual Jewish eyes, not looking at Scripture in the Western mode ever again.
Yeah, but you know, that takes time.
Yes, it's called maturing to full age. So for the next 3 weeks, We're going to help you do that by focusing on his already kept appointments.
Maybe our listeners can get the word out to others to turn on our program.
That's right. I mean, let's face it, if not you out there, then who? So, after the choosing of the lamb on Nisan 10 and being examined for 4 days, just like Jesus was in the temple, until the Passover on Nisan 14, which, by the way, is April 10th this year on our Gregorian calendar, starts at sundown until sundown the next day. But before sundown, at 3 o'clock, twixt the evening, the lamb would be slaughtered in the temple area, and around the corner, Jesus' side was pierced at the same time. Also, the same time as when they performed the first Passover in Egypt.
Talk about exact fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. And do you know his last words that he said right before dying?
Yes, he said it in Greek. Telestai. Did I get it right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
it is finished.
Yeah. It's Tetelestai, meaning
Tetelestai.
It is finished. Which, by the way, what does that mean?
Paid in full. Right. It is finished.
So here's another typology. These same words were given on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time, and their debt was paid in full. You see, there is a debt to pay for sins. Unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you by his death, thereby canceling your debt for all your sins, well, then you'll just have to pay the debt yourself. And that's the rules.
Take it or leave it.
Yes. Passover is memorialized as not only the escape from Egypt's slavery,
a type of the world,
right, but a time for the removal of personal sin by the sacrificing of the unblemished lamb. You know, leaven, or yeast, expands and puffs up. So it is associated with sin. You know, like pride that puffs up, you know? So when used in Scripture, leaven is always a type of sin. So each year prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin, soon to be removed from their souls when they sacrificed the lamb.
Yeah, you know, most still don't see that Jesus is that lamb for anyone who wants to receive him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we also covered the first Passover in Egypt and the two calendars as recorded in Exodus 12.
And we included a small size calendar in the newsletter that went out yesterday.
We did. Now remember, the Jews today call the whole 8-day season Passover, but factually, only the first day is Passover till sundown the next day, which then begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that continues for 7 more days. So the whole season is 8 days in length, with the Feast of First Fruits always being on the Sunday during the Week of Unleavened Bread that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But I also want to add how Pilate not only declared, "I find no blemish in him," at the end of his 4 days of examination, which are the same words used over the animal lamb. But Pilate also did something else very remarkable. When he was asked by the chief priest to not write on the cross that he was the king of the Jews, but rather that he claimed he was the king of the Jews. But after thought, Pilate stuck to his original saying, for if he had changed it in any way, as the scribes wanted, then this amazing Hebrew acronym would not have worked. For when you take the first letter of each word in his declaration, it spells Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in Hebrew, which reads Yahweh, the name of the Father. So Jesus was actually declaring his divinity, because any other statement would not have done that.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit was truly leading Pilate, wasn't he?
Oh, without a doubt. Shows you he can use anyone. And, you know, we use acronyms all the time to communicate a bigger picture, as in NATO, U.S., U.N., EU. Well, so does God, and it's hidden in His Word. And this is just one example of many. But that's for another day. So, let's read some scripture.
All right, Leviticus 23:6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it.
Now remember, convocation is mikra in Hebrew, and it means a rehearsal gathering.
Okay, so what day did Jesus actually die on?
Thank you for asking. There is a day, first of all, let me tell you, there is a day called the Preparation Day that always precedes every Saturday and every extra holy day, also called a High Day, in which they would do all preparations ahead of time, so do not transgress the law of no work. The first day of Passover, Nisan 14, that year was a Wednesday, started in the evening when they had the Last Supper or the Seder meal, John 13, and is not a holy day, but rather a preparation day, because the next day was the high day called Unleavened Bread. And that begins at sundown on the 15th, lasting for 7 days. And so the first day of Unleavened Bread is a holy day called a High Sabbath or a Shabbaton in Hebrew. And the last day is a holy day as well. So, at sundown on Thursday begins the 15th of Nisan, called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a High Sabbath. You know, I was raised Catholic, and we had holy days that we treated just like Sunday and attended Mass. Well, the Hebrews have holy days as well, and they treat it just like a Saturday. It's their day of rest. What's remarkable is that John's Gospel, when explaining why they had to get Jesus down before sundown, says it quite plainly that it was about to be a high holy day. Honey, can you read John 19:31?
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day.
Right. You know, Western thinkers just assume that it must be a Saturday, even though Scripture says it was a high day, meaning it was not a Saturday, or the Scriptures would not have mentioned it was a high day. Again, Passover was called the Day of Preparation because Passover Day was not a high holy day. They could do all the necessary preparations for all the cooking of the Seder meal and for the next day as well. Remember that when you eat your matzah during Passover or when you take communion, the pierced unleavened bread is a picture of Jesus whose side was pierced for you. So, Jesus had the Seder dinner on Wednesday. You like to call it the Last Supper, but it was a Seder meal. And it was on Wednesday after sundown because it had to be the 14th. He died on the cross the next afternoon, which was Thursday, but still the 14th on Passover until sundown. Then they removed his body just before sundown because it would have been the start of the 15th and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a high Sabbath. And then, of course, that went through to sundown on Friday. Now, because of the historical account in Exodus 14, we know that Jesus arose during the morning watch on Sunday. That makes death on Thursday day and in the tomb on Thursday night and Friday day and Friday night. Saturday day and Saturday night. He was raised between 2 and 6 a.m. during the morning watch of the very early Sunday morning, now the 17th of Nisan. The same time many years before, when the Israelites finished going through the Red Sea, when Pharaoh's army perished. And really, dying on Thursday would make much more sense to fulfill Jesus' own very specific typology of Jonah being in the whale, and he was specifically said for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12:39. Dying on Friday just doesn't cut it. Again, just a little bit of Jewish roots knowledge connects a lot of dots. Again, when I was attending Catholic school way back then, we only read the catechism and was told that reading the Bible would be too hard for me to understand. And remember, the Catholic Church was the only sanctioned religion till the Reformation in 1517. And it was always taught that he died on Good Friday. And tradition like that just is not changed. Often, even when they know the real truth, like December 25th is not the birth of Christ. Of course, it's more important that he was born and that he did die and he was raised from the dead. Okay, that's really where it's all at. But still, if you're a detailed person like I am, this kind of thing makes a difference. So anyway, they left Egypt the night of the 15th of Nisan. Okay, now back to the history part. The very first Passover was, they had the Passover dinner, then they left Egypt on the night of the 15th, the first Feast of Unleavened Bread. They camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph. Remember Genesis 50:24 was his request. Then on the 16th, camped at Etham, and you can read that in Numbers 33. The next morning, still the 16th, they journeyed to Pi Haroth, reaching the Reed Sea in the evening, now the 17th, Exodus 14. The Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night when the Egyptians entered also, and where God destroyed them all, as he let the waters fall back into the sea during the morning watch. And again, that's between 2 and 6 a.m. Years later, too, Jesus put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead during the morning watch on the same anniversary date of Nisan 17, being the first fruits of the resurrection. We'll be talking much more about this. And again, if it's a little, sounds a little confusing, if you hear it enough, it finally clicks in. And that's the beauty of having this on webpage. You know, you can turn it on, pause it, chew it, turn it back on, rewind. You can do all those things. It's not that hard once you are into it. It really isn't. But the major question here, have you accepted that gift, or do you want to pay it all by yourself in hell, I might add? You know, he went through hell for you, so it's your choice who pays. How well do you know him? Is it just a mind knowledge, or do you really have him in your heart? How do you know? Well, you have a hunger to read his word. That's how you know. You want to get to know him as much as you can. He's your Savior who has paid your debt. Wake up, sinner. Don't be a fool. Do it now. Get on your knees. Repent. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmerekka Yair Adonai panav elekka v'yineka Yisei Adonai panav elekka Beyasam Lahashalom. I almost messed that up. But basically in English it says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his face and his countenance upon you and give you that peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for our president. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Till next week.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.